Well, my Command Alcon days are over. I have worked at Command Alcon for almost 20 years, and this Tuesday I was handed my pink slip. I know others of you have experienced this kind of situation. In fact, I read in the paper, I think the headline on Friday was 520,000 jobs lost in the month of November. So I get to be one of those statistics in that number. But what do you think when you experience something like that, a change in life? Like I said, I've been doing that for almost 20 years. It's been a long time, made a lot of friends there, invested a lot in that company. But what should I think? How should a person respond when you're faced with something like that? Am I simply one more helpless person caught in the wave of an economic downturn? Or am I subject to the whims of my employer or the people on Wall Street or maybe even the president? How should we look at these things? What does the future look like? What should a person focus on? Well, it's with these thoughts and questions that I come to the Christmas story. As I have read it and studied it, thought about it, and finally put these words down on paper, I've wondered, what are people going through this season? The truth is that thousands are losing their jobs, their homes, and their retirements. Some because of poor financial management, and others are just innocent victims of a financial system that has kind of gone wrong. What does Christmas mean to them? What does Christmas mean to me? I'm going to begin the story with Luke chapter 1, and Ryan is going to follow up next Sunday with Luke chapter 2. And I found that Luke chapter 1 is a really delightful read in the midst of dreary economic news and uncertainty in our times. I find tremendous joy and excitement and peace in this story. It breaks through the fog of our lives and brings a clarity that we really need, especially during this time of year. It is here that we find the story of two old people and a teenager. Well, they're heroes, really. Unlikely heroes, but heroes just the same. So I invite you to join me in looking at the lives of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. Zechariah and Elizabeth. We begin with these two, as I say, old people. I don't particularly like that term, old people. In fact, sometimes people mistakenly associate that with me. I'm not sure where they get that. But I don't really like that term. But I'm using it for a reason. Zechariah and Elizabeth had followed God devoutly many years. And even so, Elizabeth was unable to have children, which in that culture was a disgrace, to not be able to have children. Zechariah was a priest, and he worked in the temple. And we're going to pick up the story where Zechariah is working at the temple and is chosen as one, and maybe from about 18,000 priests, as one commentary suggests. He's chosen to enter the temple and burn incense to the Lord. Let's read beginning at verse 11, after he has entered the temple.
Standing at the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent. I was trying to avoid using these. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.
All right, so we have the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And now let's hear about really the teenage heroine of the story, Mary.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
It's an amazing story. And I want to pull a few points out there. There's much that could be said about this story and has been said. But a few things that jumped out to me as I studied this passage. The first thing that I've noticed is that God has a plan. Do you understand that? From the dawn of creation, God had a plan, and he is actively working that plan. In Genesis 3:15, we already understand that it is through the offspring of the woman that we will be delivered from evil. In Genesis 12, we have the promise to Abraham that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through him, through his descendants. In 2 Samuel, God promises to David that his throne would be established forever. In Isaiah, we find direct references to the virgin birth of this coming king, that he will be called a Nazarene, and that his way will be prepared by the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist. In Micah, we find that he will be born in Bethlehem. And we could go on and on, but we must understand today that God has a plan. The move of God had not been felt in the land for over 400 years. There were no prophets in Israel. It seemed as though God was silent and had forgotten about his plan, but it was not so. God was faithfully executing it. He was right on schedule. And when the time was right, he reached out his hand and he selected these two old people and this young teenage girl to carry out the next step in his plan. I find this tremendously reassuring because it reminds me that regardless of what is going on around me and how things might look, God has a plan that will not be defeated or stopped in any way. It's very reassuring to me. He is in control and is not subject to Command Alcon or Wall Street or even the president of the most powerful country in the world. And he's promised that if I focus on his plan, that he'll take care of all the other details. Who are we to doubt that God can carry out his plan? Who are we to doubt that God can't keep his promises? Well, I can identify with Zechariah. Sometimes I wonder how God is going to pull it off. How can this be, God? How could this happen? Look at all these impossible details that need to be worked out. But who am I to doubt God and his plan? He has a plan and he will carry it out. And really, the only question that needs to be asked is, are you in or out? Which brings me to my second point. God has a purpose for you in that plan. I will never cease to be amazed that God chooses to use ordinary, unlikely people in his plan. It amazes me. The people that he chooses to use to carry out this plan. We read that Elizabeth and Zechariah were well along in years. And maybe they thought that their years of significant service to God were over. I don't know what they were thinking. I'm sure that they thought that their opportunity to have children was over. Was it too late for God to use them in his plan? Were they past their prime or too old or out of touch to make a significant difference in the kingdom of God? Well, the answer is no. Despite appearances, God's timing was just right. Despite Zechariah's doubts, God's plan would go forward just as the angel had said. Zechariah and Elizabeth were prepared to follow this call. They were ready. It says that they devoutly followed the Lord. And so they were ready to follow him in this. But we recognize too that they weren't perfect people. We see that in Zechariah's response. His faith seemed to get caught off guard a little bit with the angel and what was being asked and said was going to happen to them. In fact, he lost his voice for 9 months. But I think he recovered admirably from his lack of faith to begin with. And how about this teenager? It's likely that she was around 14 years old, maybe even as young as 13, for it was common during that day to be pledged for marriage at this age. And my daughter, Danae, she'll be 13 this next year. And I have a lot of respect for my daughter, but I find it amazing that God would entrust his son, the key to his plan, into the arms of a 13 or 14-year-old. Don't you find that amazing that God would do that? True, I believe Mary had significant faith for her age and was also prepared to handle this task, but still, a young teenager. I'm not sure teenagers really get enough respect either when it comes to being used by God. But I'm convinced that God wants to and is using teenagers in significant ways in his kingdom. I know God has a significant plan for you young people out there right now. He wants to use you to do amazing things in the work of his kingdom. So don't think for a moment that this is just for the so-called adults to carry out God's plan. It's for you as well. We have an example right here in Scripture of a teenager that was used mightily in God's plan. My point is that God had a significant purpose for these two old people and this teenager to carry out his plan. And he has a purpose for every one of you here today. Maybe you don't understand it yet, Maybe you need to wait like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Or maybe you think you've missed the boat somewhere along the way. But God has a plan for you. Maybe you think you're too young to be a part of that. Or possibly you need to do some preparation to be ready for that call that God places on our lives. I don't know where you're at today. God knows and you know. But He wants to change the world through you. Yes, through an ordinary person like you and an ordinary person like me. And finally, God seeks a response from you. How are you responding to His call? Do you understand the priority of His kingdom? Are you looking for His call? Are you ready for His call? I believe God chose these two old people and this teenager because He knew that they would accept it. But I also believe that they had the choice to refuse it. And so do we. You have the choice to accept God's call or to reject it. Oh, His plan will continue on according to His will. But whether or not it includes you is your own choice. You see, there are many competing plans that want to be a part of your life. They want you to adopt those plans. They're all out there, all kinds of plans about what to do with your life. And we have them in place right now, where we're going, what we're going to do when we grow up. I still have one when I grow up. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but we have plans. And they're competing for our time, for our resources. So maybe you need to take some time to prepare yourself for that. But God's pretty jealous about His plan. He either wants you all in or not at all. And Jesus makes that clear when He describes what it means to be a disciple. This is an amazing time of year to reflect on this part of God's plan that took place 2,000 years ago. But God's plan is continuing to this day. And He's looking for those people who will sell out to that plan and be a part of it. And He's wondering whether you're going to be that kind of a person. He has a purpose for each of you. And He's asking the question, will you accept My call on your life? Will you be involved in this great work that is being worked out since the dawn of creation? Will you store up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth? His plans seem impossible to us at times. Will you believe that God, who can bring a child to an old woman and to a young virgin, will you believe that that kind of God can carry out miraculous things through you as well? I would encourage each of us to take note of this young 13 or 14-year-old teenager on what an appropriate response would be. We must remember that this was not an easy task for her. She faced ridicule and judgment for having a child outside of marriage. Joseph, her fiancé, if you remember, wanted to divorce her. We have no idea how her parents responded to this, but you could imagine how your parents would respond to this kind of situation. I could see them saying, "Yeah, right." We don't know how her parents responded, but we do know that she went to stay with her Aunt Elizabeth for 3 months. I don't know what that means, but Elizabeth did understand and know what her situation was. This was a very difficult task that God asked her to take. And what does she say? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Well, I think the Catholics got it partially right. Mary was an amazing woman. She was obedient and available to God to be used by Him for His purposes. She's a heroine. Zechariah and Elizabeth are heroes. They were willing to be used by God to carry out His amazing plan. We understand that even though they were prepared, Mary says in her own words, in the song she sings, that it was only by the grace of God that she was chosen for this amazing part of the story of the redemption of mankind. Only by the grace of God. Now, I don't know what plans you have or what you're excited about today or maybe looking forward to the next weeks and months ahead. But I want you to understand something. Being a part of God's plan is the most amazing thing in this world that you will ever do. It may take some time to discover that, but there's really nothing that compares to it. To be chosen by the Almighty God to carry out the work that He is doing is a blessing beyond anything that we can imagine. Who are we that He would be mindful of us? I realize that there are many other exciting and tempting things to be involved with, but I would encourage you not to wait until the end of your life to discover the excitement of being involved in God's plan. Do not wait till the end of your life to discover all of those other things that seem so exciting and fun and need lots of energy that in the end you have nothing. Don't wait till the end of your life to discover that. Be a part of an amazing plan that has been in place from the beginning of time. It will be challenging. It will be difficult, and it will stretch you beyond what you thought you could ever handle. But oh, the joy. There is none like it. It is this joy that we experience at Christmas time. God has a plan, and He has a purpose for you in that plan, and He seeks your response. Don't delay, for then you can sing your own song, like Mary, and we will close with listening to the song of Mary.
Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He has said to our fathers."